helping students and healthcare professionals not just survive, but thrive with a purpose. This is the CMDA Student Pulse Podcast.
Well, welcome to another episode of CMDA's Student Pulse Podcast. I'm Bill Reichert, National Director for our Campus and Community Ministries here at CMDA. And my guest today is Dr. Madison Chapman. Madison, welcome.
Thank you, Bill. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah. Well, let me give a quick bio before we jump into our discussion. Madison is a OBGYN, now based in Grand Rapids, just moved there, completed his medical school and residency at the University of Texas down in San Antonio, and just finished his term as one of the resident trustees, part of the CMDA National Leadership, and just finished that opportunity as well. He and his wife, Savannah, have two young children, Aubrey and Calvin. So a lot of changes, young family, new location, finished your trainee years. So what I want to discuss with you today, Madison, is some things that reflected in a recent World Magazine podcast and article, and just about your journey in going into the specialty as a strong Christ follower. So kind of want to start there. Is what prompted you first of all into medicine? What was the journey that led you there? And then why did you choose this specialty, being an OBGYN?
Yeah. So my journey is a little bit long and winding. I started off wanting to be a tuba professor. I was a music major in college at Michigan State University, mm-hmm. which brought me back to Michigan with my wife's family, and quickly realized I did not want to do that. And what I was interested in at the time was athletics and working out. So I switched to kinesiology as my major, which is the study of human movement. And then I took anatomy and physiology and chemistry all in one semester. And people told me that was crazy, but it was a requirement to have those done by a certain point, and I had to do them. And it was upon studying anatomy and physiology that I really was drawn in and interested with the human body. And then from that, I had a study abroad scholarship, being an out-of-state student at Michigan State, being from Texas, that gave me a small amount of scholarship to use to go study abroad. And it was enough to do a clinical observation study abroad in the Dominican Republic after my parents, on the way home from school, kind of prompted me of, you could, we always told you growing up that you were smart enough to be a doctor, after I wouldn't shut up about fun anatomy and physiology facts that I had learned. It was on that trip that I, in the midst of, you know, shadowing doctors in the Dominican, that I, you know, realized that this was something that I could wake up and do every day. And there I switched into medicine. Mm. I'd always been drawn to help people. And so I went into medicine and went back to Texas, since I was a Texas resident, and went to UT Health San Antonio. Mm-hmm. And I think as far as what specialty I was going to choose, I had no idea, but I could tell you OBGYN was probably the last thing on my list. Hmm. I had no intentions of, as a male, going into that field, just because it was awkward. And as medical students that are listening will know, you have to do a standardized pelvic exam as part of your training, and that was a pretty traumatic experience. And so going into the third year of medical school, where you do all your rotations, I kind of had counted that one out. Mm. But when I started the rotation, I quickly realized, after I got over kind of the moment of anxiety that a pelvic exam can bring, or the first times, once I got over that it was fun. OBGYN is a very procedural field. Everything I do is hands-on, from delivering babies, managing labor and delivery, to surgeries on the gynecology side. And then even in clinic, when you're doing a clinic, you're doing procedures and different things. So it was very engaging and fun for someone that kind of had that sports background. On the other hand, when you look at other surgical specialties to where I was training, that the big difference is OBGYN is a field that demands compassionate care for your patients. You cannot be an OBGYN without building trust with your patients. And those moments that I was able to do that with women and in situations where they were seeking help was a rewarding experience where I could connect with them and then also build rapport and trust where they would trust me to let them provide the care for them. Those two things are why I still to this day absolutely love my job.
No, that's great. It's wonderful when during your training years that you are able to find that specialty that just clicks, that just is the right fit. So it sounds like it's the place that obviously God wanted you to be, but needless to say, I wouldn't be wrong in saying, Madison, that there weren't maybe some apprehensions about what is going to be look like to be a Christ follower in a challenging specialty. Why don't you talk a little bit about what did you perceive as some of the challenges and how did you overcome them?
Yeah, certainly the challenges are probably the big topics for today's day and age. I mean, our advocacy team for CMDA is hitting those, and OBGYN pretty much covers most of them, that being abortion, the right to human life, as well as human sexuality and the transgender kind of movement ideology, both of which the OBGYN field takes a opposite stance as the Christ follower. The OBGYN community, including the stance of our governing body, ACOG, is that, you know, every woman should have the right to abortion and, you know, as well as the same for transgender care. So entering a field where your opinions are going to be clashing against the majority of the people that you are working with, can be certainly fear-producing and anxiety-producing and might even turn you away from the field entirely if it weren't for, you know, strong convictions otherwise.
How did you bring some of those convictions to the forefront during those residency interviews? I mean, was there times when in those interviews you were able to see that this wasn't going to be a match between maybe your faith and the program itself, or how were you able to talk about that in a way that was, you know, a person of conviction, but also, you know, with a sense of winsomeness and, you know, being able to kind of cut through some of those challenges, especially in the residency interview process.
Certainly. Now, to kind of start, I think for anyone that is interested in OBGYN and it, you know, as a Christ follower, the first thing that you're going to have to seriously consider is, are you going to display that? Okay. I had the same exact thing as leaving the field and going to apply for jobs. Are you going to, as I like to say, are you going to wear your Christ follower badge? Are you going to wave your banner? Or are you going to fly under the radar? Obviously, we would encourage you to wave that flag proud as on your CVs, placing your experience with CMDA, as well as maybe, you know, church or volunteer activities that are surrounding those areas. So when it came to actually, you know, applying, I think the other thing is, you're applying to programs, you obviously have an idea of where you want to practice. For me, it was very geographically driven of where I wanted to go to residency, being having family in-laws in Michigan and my family in Texas. I can tell you that I was not interviewed as well as I thought I was. And I do strongly think that my beliefs probably impacted that. I can't say that for certain. So I do think those programs that are most pro-abortion and are seeing applicants that are clearly pro-life on their applications, you know, although they're not supposed to, choose based on that. But right. I do imagine there's some degree of that. So I did not have as many conversations as you would think about abortion in my interviews, and I think that was largely self-selected beforehand.
Stay tuned for more of this story. The Student Pulse podcast returns in just a moment.
Are you a Christian student pursuing a career in medicine or dentistry or other discipline in healthcare and encountering challenges or even hostility in conversations with peers or your faculty because of your Christian worldview? If so, CMDA has produced a 7-module on-demand video series just for you called Standing Strong in Training. It's hosted by Dr. Jeff Barrows, who's an obstetrician and gynecologist, as well as a bioethicist. It is designed for a group setting in which you'll be introduced to a fascinating metaphor, the elephant and the rider, which is described by author Jonathan Haidt in his best-selling book, The Righteous Mind. Dr. Barrows will help you understand why you believe what you believe and how most modern people, including professionals, make moral judgments based upon intuition and emotions instead of logic and reason. This training series will help you solidify your foundational worldview beliefs on important issues like beginning of life, end of life, and biblical sexuality. Standing Strong in Training will help you winsomely defend biblical values and positively interact with others in developing their own worldview beliefs. You can access this free series by going to cmda.org/standingstrong.
As someone that has had those conversations, as someone applying for jobs, mm-hmm. As someone that has brought up in every single one of my job interviews of my beliefs, is just, you know, showing those individuals that you're in the field because you care about women, mm. And that you care about them. And I think, as evidenced by when I was in residency, we had ACOG actually come to our program, mm. and give us a didactic about how to talk about abortion with others, assuming kind of that everyone was on the same page as them.
Right.
And I went to that as someone that was very curious on what they were going to say. And the message essentially was, try to portray to people that you are, a caring provider that cares about your patients and wants to do the best thing for them and wants to listen to them. And, you know, at the end of the day, do what the patient wants you to do. And it just struck me as with the kind of notion or the undertone of that, if you are not in that stance, if you are pro-life, that you don't care. And so, so I think, you know, the biggest thing that you can get through in those interviews is that you care about women, and that's why you're going into the field.
Right.
And find common ground with those interviewers, and that they do too, and that it's okay maybe that you don't agree on that topic, but ultimately it doesn't make you, yeah. you know, not the right person for that job.
Sure. There was a group of individuals we had on the podcast a little over a year ago called part of a ministry called Conscience and Residency. And we'll put that information mm-hmm. in the show notes, but they really did a good job in helping medical students as they're going through these residency interviews to be prepared to how they're going to bring their faith forward, how is that going to interface and impact those residency interviews as such, especially in a little bit more challenging specialties, as you know, OBGYN is, when it comes up against an assumption that abortions are just, you know, they're commonplace, everyone's on the same page, when that's not in fact the case. And Speak to your training time, your residency. Was there some components of your training, Madison, that you felt came in conflict with your faith? And how did you reconcile those?
Yeah. So as someone that trained in Texas, which is a abortion-restricting state, there are no abortions allowed in the state of Texas due to SB 8, which is the heartbeat law. And so you'd imagine that everyone would be on the same page as far as that goes. Now, I can tell you, being in Texas, despite that, I know that my opinion on the matter was still the minority amongst my residency. So even the OBGYNs in Texas, while they're not leaving the state of Texas because of this, they're not agreeing. Now, just for those that are interested in the field, every OBGYN resident must be trained in abortion procedures. Mm-hmm. Now, I'll clarify in that a surgical dilation and curettage is the procedure, and that procedure is the same for elective abortions and for indicated procedures. So for all the medical students, you will learn this, but you have elective abortions, incomplete abortions, missed abortions. And so as an OBGYN, you have to be trained to do that procedure. Now, that procedure is the exact same whether the baby is alive or the baby is passed or the process is incomplete. Now, on the other hand, every OBGYN resident also has to have the ability to perform elective abortions, regardless of where you're training. So in the state of Texas, specifically at my training program, what that looked like was you had a rotation, and the third year of your residency, that was family planning. Now, family planning is the name that they use for abortions in our field. And so you have the option in your rotation to stay in Texas and to essentially do these indicated procedures when they came up in the hospital. And then you had to do some online training from the Ryan program, which is the family planning or the Planned Parenthood program for abortions, or the program would pay for you to go to California to participate in elective abortions. And so they were supportive of, regardless of what your choice was, there was no judgment either way. So, and about half of the people, at least in my class, went and about half stayed and did not perform those abortions. But at the end of the day, the other thing that I at least responded to in that World article was the notion that if you're not trained to perform elective abortions, you're not able to do your job effectively. And that is the furthest thing from the truth. Mm. You will get all the training that you need to be to deal with emergency situations, to deal with the bleeding, miscarriage that needs a surgery, to deal with ectopic pregnancy management, and you will not ever be in a situation where you will not be able to take care of a woman that needs your help. So in the state of, in my residency program, quite frankly, abortion was not discussed on a daily basis. We all kind of understood that each other's opinions, but we never made a clash out of it. I mean, I loved my program. I loved everyone in it. I cared for everyone. I was thankful to be in a place where I didn't feel like I had to, you know, duke it out per se every day on that topic.
Right.
Especially given that it is a very small part of what we do as OBGYNs.
Sure.
It is not the majority. It is the minority.
Right. Well, it is a blessing you were in a program that you didn't have to duke it out. I think there are going to be some that might feel like they will have to do more of that, or going to feel under a little bit more obligation or pressure. But I wanted to reference something that I'd mentioned in your bio, but I really think it really needs to be stated, is how important it was that you had a strong community of other Christian healthcare professionals there in San Antonio. I have to believe that that becomes a strengthening element in helping you to stand strong in your convictions, to live out your faith boldly. Talk a little bit about your experience with the local community CMDA in San Antonio, Mitzi Roberts, her faithful dedication and what she does in leading that chapter.
Certainly. Yes. Yeah, so I was involved with CMDA as soon as I stepped on campus. Mm-hmm. It was a special place for me because medical school is actually where I dedicated my life to Christ. Mm-hmm. After undergrad. I had maybe a lot of people's stories growing up in the church, but not completely understanding what that meant to be a follower of Jesus, and understanding that there's nothing you need to do, and to understanding that grace given to you. I went to college kind of ready to live my life and with the notion that I would come back to the faith later. Mm-hmm. And when I went to medical school, I figured the later was now. And it was honestly a little bit of selfish intentions of like, medical school is going to be hard. I should probably go back to faith. And I had not created a community of followers, Jesus followers in Michigan. And so going back to Texas, I prayed earnestly that God would place me in a community where I'd be surrounded by people that helped me. And he placed me in San Antonio with our CMDA chapter. So CMDA was integral to all of my training, medical school and on. Now, I will say, as those that are not aware, residency is harder than medical school. And so as soon as I started residency, I relied heavily on my tribe. So as you mentioned, Mitzi Roberts, I was thankful enough to have a Christian OBGYN in San Antonio, Marilyn Vanover, who took me under her wing. I can tell you, in those first few months of residency, they were on my doorstep multiple times. Mm-hmm. I can't state how important it is that you have a mentor, that someone that can take you under their wing, and someone that can show you the way, especially when you don't know what that looks like. For someone that, when I was deciding that question I alluded to earlier, are you going to wave your faith flag or are you going to hide? Are you going to be an OBGYN, which you could? And I knew OBGYNs that were Christians, that if other OBGYNs found out that fact, they would be shocked because it was not something that was public knowledge. So I had to make the decision. And Marilyn was one example for me of where others knew her in the community. She is a retired OBGYN in San Antonio. And one of the residents' mom was also OBGYN in the community. And upon mentioning Marilyn, she mentioned she's the Christian OBGYN, and with kind of like that was her label. I ultimately, took that example and wanted to follow it and say, I am not going to be afraid to be the Christian OBGYN. And push me to do things that are maybe out of your comfort zone, like apply to be the resident trustee and to get involved. And and that is one way that I can unashamedly be that Christian OBGYN, especially in a time where I imagine that there are fewer training young Christian OBGYNs maybe than there are kind of towards the end of their career OBGYNs, given the current topics.
Stay tuned for more of this story. The Student Pulse podcast returns in just a moment.
let's dive into this aspect of how you integrate your faith into the daily practice that being an OBGYN. How does your faith interface? How do you see it? You certainly wear it proudly, but what does it look like practically as your interaction with fellow colleagues or patients? How does bringing those two things together look for a Christian OBGYN?
Yeah. That's a great question. That's a question that I've been asking myself. In residency, although, you know, there is a difference between being a faithful follower of Jesus, you know, on your own time, and then making that known at work. Now, certainly, you are salt and light in work, and I strongly believe in residency, God touched everything I was involved with, and touched my interactions with my colleagues, and touched my interactions with my patients, and helped me to be the train and be the best OBGYN that I could at the end of that training, despite the many challenges that he brought me through to become that. I certainly am sitting in a spot now asking myself that same question. Yeah. What does it look like to be a Christian OBGYN? And it should look differently than the person sitting next to me. Mm-hmm. And so I certainly am invested and interested in doing that moving forward. And now I am specifically talking about things like evangelical medicine.
Yeah.
You know, sharing the gospel with patients.
Yeah.
I had moments in residency where essentially God was like showing me, like, you can pray with this patient. The patient's Bible's out in front of her. Like pray with the patient. So I had those moments. But, you know, that is another thing that I kind of mentioned of mentors in the field. Is like finding that person that, like, I still to this day am sort of trying to figure that out. And but I'd imagine that, you know, easy opportunities for me will be praying for patients before, you know, on labor and delivery, before delivery, praying before surgery, and then obviously doing all the other things I've already been, which is just being kind and loving and to everyone I interact with and treating no one above myself. So
I know you're beginning, you've finished your residency, your training time, and now you're about to begin your practice in Grand Rapids. So I know this is still kind of new, but I appreciate you've already been reflecting on these things, I know, and beginning to think intentionally, what is this going to look like? I think you're right, though, and, you know, keeping your spiritual antenna open to those opportunities as God presents them. I think that's a key, being intentional, being thoughtful, being prayerful as you go about your day. Let me give you the final word on this, because I the audience for this podcast is typically those in training, our students and residents. What would you like to say to them directly, just as someone who's, you know, gone through those training years, you're on the other side of that journey. What would you do to encourage those listening and watching?
Certainly, you know, the big things that I really felt were kind of like the highlights, the themes of what God was showing me in residency. This is to any field, any specialty, but that's, it's okay to do hard things. I went through so many rough times in residency, just as I know other residents out there, if they're listening to this, or students will experience long hours, difficult encounters. And I think, you know, other people were starting to get to a point where, like, they could do everything they could to avoid those. And I, you know, as James says, you know, the count it all joy when you face trials of various kinds. And so I truly feel that, you know, in those lowest moments is when God kind of really used me and raised me up. You know, don't be afraid to do the hard things, like to go into a field where you might be the only person in your residency that is a Christ follower. As I you know, won't name names, but I know other OBGYN residents that are like in their class, literally the only person that is a follower of Jesus. And you have the opportunity to share light and joy with those people and to stand out and to, you know, in residency, you're going to spend a lot of time with those people around you. I would just encourage you that it's okay. It's going to end. And then on the other side, like God's going to use those to build you up for his kingdom and for his glory.
Good word, Madison. Thank you so much for that. And I just wanted to let you know personally how much I appreciate your leadership, the leadership you brought to the trustees as a resident. Your specialties was people were tapping on your shoulder quite a bit, asking for, especially on the bioethical issues and some of these advocacy issues that are so front and center in our culture, and that really land right at the doorstep of your specialty, and how quickly you were to offer a lot of great insight and coaching in those areas. Yeah. So I just, again, appreciate you and appreciate where God's landed you, because I know there's some really cool opportunities of CMDA beginning to kind of restart and reset there in Grand Rapids. And so I know that there's plenty of encouraging and cool things that God is going to be doing in yet the years to come. But thank you for being as faithful as you've been to do and lean into those hard things, like you said, because I think that it's really in those hard moments that Christ draws closer to us, and that we're able to realize that it is not in and of ourselves. It is really the work of the Holy Spirit working in and through us that enables us to live out our faith and to be obedient and faithful in the things that God's called us to do. So thank you for being faithful. And the things that we discussed, we're going to put in show notes. There was a couple of articles in World Magazine that I'm going to put in there as well. So, Madison.
Certainly put in, I would be remiss to also not highlight the other resources CMDA has that is very helpful in this topic, which is the Standing Strong in Training curriculum, which I highly recommend to anyone that is especially applying to a field where you might be asked questions and interviews, to help you kind of build a framework around how to discuss those things as well. There's Standing Strong in Practice is coming out, which I'm excited about. And then even I have over here a book that Mitzi Roberts gave me, which is the CMDA's and I'm gonna
practice. Is it practice by the book? Is that it? Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Practice by the book, exactly. There you go. Which is kind of what we're talking about earlier of like of how do you look different as an OBGYN physician. And I think this has been great so far for me. So,
well, you're not, it's funny that you mentioned that book, because it's been mentioned several times of late. And I don't want to give away anything that I'm not supposed to, but you know, I'm going to break some news here. It looks like we're going to take a fresh look. That's been a classic around CMDA for years. It's such a foundational book in helping to integrate, you know, bringing medicine and dentistry to one's faith together. And yet we're going to take a fresh look at it and, you know, update it some and get some people contributing that maybe didn't in the first edition. And so that is an incredible resource. And we're hoping to even put a, you know, kind of refine it and to update it some. So we have a lot to put in the show notes, a lot of good stuff, but I think that's the key with CMDA. There's a lot of great resources and things that can come alongside it. But I don't want to miss to the idea of mentoring, what an important element that is to the journey as well, both to be mentored, and now I see you on the flip side of this, be able to mentor others too. And that's what you're doing here exactly. on this podcast in a way. You're sharing your story and being an encouragement to those listening and watching. So again, Madison, thank you so much for what you're doing, the way God's using you, and for being a guest on this podcast.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
And we're out.
We're good.
Okay. We're good. Awesome. That was awesome. Very good.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, very good. I think Pam will, first of all, Pam's been listening. She's going to have to, she'll have to hunt all that stuff down and put the links in the show notes. And then I think it'll drop sometime later this fall, and Pam will let you know when it does. We bank these a couple months in advance.
I'll just say hi.
Oh, yeah, and Pam would like to say hello.
Hi.
Hey, Pam.
Can you even see me?
How you doing?
Where am I?
Yeah.
Person behind the curtain right there.
awesome.
Well, good. This is fun. Exciting. I'll be curious to hear through Connor some, too, how things are beginning to galvanize there in Grand Rapids, because, glad it's by no accident that you're there. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, certainly.
Cool.
You know, I got here and through Savannah, you know, the side-by-side community here is incredible.
Yeah. That, oh, yeah.
Big. So it's just kind of like, you know, a little bit ironic that it's, you know, a lot of places it's the opposite. So it seems like I've already had a lot of conversation at side-by-side with spouses, or with the physician spouses.
Good.
You know, kind of just local ground movement, you know, saying, you know, hey, this is important.
Yeah.
So
cool.
So we'll see.
Yeah. All right. All right, brother. Thanks for taking the time and giving us this opportunity to allow your voice to be heard by these trainees. And we'll be in touch.
Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time. CMDA Student Pulse Podcast is a production of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are not necessarily endorsed by the organization. CMDA is nonpartisan and does not endorse candidates or political parties for public office. The views expressed on this podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members.